Welcome back to the On Point podcast and part two of our interview with Val Garland, world-renowned makeup artist and Vagaro partner. On Point.
How do you approach creating a makeup look for a specific project? Can you walk us through like your creative process?
You know, each moment is different. I get some of my best ideas when I'm driving my car and I'm listening to classical music. With each situation, with each job, it's a phone call. You know, you get a deck of what you're going to do most of the time, not all of the time. And then, you know, I'll talk with the art director and the hairdresser, the stylist, who's the model, you know, do we have carte blanche? Do we have to keep it within a certain thing? It's about doing your research and being ready for anything. So take everything, because you never know. You never know. I remember there was this one time I was working with Gareth Pugh, and it was the first time I did one of his shows. And I sort of said, who is our woman? And Gareth sort of said, well, I'm thinking Donna Summer, sequins, lots of metallics. Yeah, I'm thinking that kind of thing. Glitter, gold. And I was like, okay. I have like a sort of like a case that's got loads of odd things in it. Nothing to do with makeup, but it might make you think a different way. I had these tights, these sort of like flesh colored tights. And I thought, well, I'll just give that a go. And so I cut the tights up. I used them. I placed them over the model's face. And then instead of doing the makeup on the skin, I did the makeup on the tights. So she became a new character. And it was something that Gareth hadn't seen before. It was very different. There was no glitter. There was no metallics. It was just all primary colors. And it was completely different to what he'd expressed, because sometimes what you have to do in your job is read the room. You know, sometimes I'm working with a crew and they'll be like, oh, we've got Val Garland. She's going to want to do something. You know, she's going to want to do a makeup. But maybe they want natural makeup. You know, they might be sort of saying like, oh, you know, yeah, we were thinking kind of like liner and a red lip. And then if I'm clever enough, I will say, you know what? Why don't we just start natural? Why don't we just start with like a nudie sort of lip? And maybe I'll do an invisible liner and we can build it up that way. And then they might go, that's exactly what we want. But they were too frightened to say that.
Yeah, no, that's so true. You know, in the fashion industry, the beauty industry, trends and things are changing all the time. And plus, we're such creative people. We might think one thing and then we wake up and we're like, you know what? I want to do, you know, a ponytail and like slick back. And like you said, you just have to be like ready for it. You have to be on your toes and be willing to change at a moment's notice. And you know what? It's hard. And that's like a good characteristic to build on.
I can have an idea for the makeup. I can go, okay, I'm going to do sort of like 1930s Berlin, Marlene Dietrich. It's going to be like a liquid wet eye. It's going to be gorgeous, really glowy skin. So if I'm doing like a wet eye, that's quite sticky. And if I'm doing a glossy lip, that's quite sticky. So that means that I need all the hair off the face. If I'm doing glowy skin, I need to see the shine on the cheekbone. And I go in and the hairdresser is like, it's all about hair, all over the face. So my makeup's not going to, A, you're not going to see it. It's not going to work with that hair. So that's why you have to leave your ego at the door. You have to work as a team player, hair and makeup. At some point, you've got to compromise, or they've got to compromise, so that we can flow and get perfect image at the end.
And still to this day, you've never gone to makeup school. Like, this is all self-taught.
Yeah. Because I believe you're a creative person. It's like, I think to be taught makeup is fabulous. To be taught the skill of makeup, how to do a liner, how to color correct, how to choose color, to go to a makeup school and learn that Fantastic. Fantastic. That's a great skill. But you cannot teach somebody style. You cannot teach somebody creativity. I've seen people take an hour and a half doing a makeup and everything's perfect. It's like what I call the 12-step program of makeup. You know, it's cleansed, it's toned, it's this, it's that, it's primer, it's base, it's concealer, it's baked, it's sprayed, it's this, that, and the other. And then somebody else comes along and goes whoosh, and you're like, oh, I love that. It's so fresh. You know, you can't teach someone creativity. Going back to that, when I started doing makeup, there weren't really makeup schools. There weren't. Makeup wasn't seen as a sort of a career. It wasn't taken seriously. It was like, oh, the little makeup girl. You know, it wasn't seen as a proper profession. I mean, it was a bit like that with hairdressers. If you couldn't get a job, you'd become a hairdresser, which was, you know, so wrong. And it's such a skilled job. But nowadays, the makeup schools that are out there are incredible, you know. But that wasn't happening in the sort of like 70s, 80s. I didn't start in the 70s. I started in the 80s. But, you know, that wasn't happening then.
Yeah. Well, to feed off that with your makeup style now, when someone looks at the way that you do makeup, what are some key principles or approaches that define your unique style?
I think great skin, a glow, but also I think my own particular makeup is so diverse that it can be a bit of everything. You know, it can be catwalk, it can be editorial, it can be red carpet. I think I kind of, well, actually, I refuse to be put in a box. You know, for me, I don't have a signature style. You know, I'm a professional makeup artist, so I need to know and have a skill in all types of makeup. That's what I think.
No, I love that. I just know some people might be like, oh, that person's known for the winged eyeliner, or that person is known for doing the thin eyebrows. But that's awesome that you're not known for a specific thing. You're known for makeup artist.
One of my things that I've always said to myself is like, expect the unexpected. I never wanted to be predictable. You know, that's why, you know, I admire makeup artists like Pat McGrath, like Ismaya French, because they've come at it left of center to a certain degree. And I like the art side of makeup. I like the fact that makeup has grown so much as a profession that it's now recognized as an art form, as well as just creating a beautiful face. It's more than that, you know? It's makeup today is, you know, it's a tool of empowerment.
Yeah, no, I love that. Let's talk about some tips and techniques for achieving long-lasting and flawless makeup looks. If you could give us any tips on that, or like challenging situations or climates that the listeners can take away from you.
Okay. Preparation and execution, that's what's going to give you longevity in your makeup. It's like common sense. It's like, prepare your canvas, you know, use a good cleanser, a great moisturizer, use a massage tool, get a primer on, find a foundation that works for you, that works with your skin type. Do whatever it takes. You know, use a setting lotion to sort of like set your product. But at the end of the day, a great product, a great tool, executed well, will give you a flawless, fantastic makeup. There are so many products on the market today, high street to high end. There are great makeups for everyone. It's just how you do it. And it's all down to, again, a personal preference. Some people like to use their hands. Some people like to use a sponge. Some people like to use a brush. It's all about what works for you.
Okay. So it doesn't matter which way.
It's not how you do it. It's like, how does it look? And will it last? And that is the secret of a great makeup. not necessarily an artist. I mean, because you might be applying makeup for yourself. It's about finding what works for you. Because, but if you don't use good skincare, you don't prepare your canvas, it's not going to last.
Totally. Do you have any products, not to put you on the spot, off the top of your head that are like Val's go-to?
I love the True Match Foundation from L'Oreal Paris. I mean, that is fantastic. It's got like 30, I think it's 36 hours of wear. So you can take that from the gym to dinner, you know, to clubbing. I think that's fantastic. And then there is a foundation powder from L'Oreal Paris that went viral on TikTok. And it's the Infallible Powdered Foundation. And what's great about it is it's so easy to use. You get that kind of like fabulous, no pores, full coverage quickly. And I think what we want today, or what I want as a consumer, is I want a product that gives me what I want quickly, because I'm in a rush. The L'Oreal Paris Telescopic Mascara is fantastic. For me, if I only had to have one product walking out the door, it would be mascara.
You would rather have like mascara for your eyes than face makeup.
Yes, yes.
Val, have you ever worked with like prosthetics?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? I'm so intrigued with that. Like, is that like another layer of like makeup talent? Because I feel like that's a whole different ball game.
Yes, special effects, prosthetics. Yes, it is a whole different ball game. And you come at it from a different angle, because the products that you're using on the prosthetics, it's not makeup. It is makeup, but it's makeup for plastic or latex, so it's not like skin. So it you do come at it from a different angle, and it's a fantastic field to be involved in and to have the knowledge of, to be able to sort of like work on incredible films and create these characters. And like, you know, we see it a lot in Glow Up, where, you know, our MUAs, you know, create these characters where they have to sort of like use, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 prosthetics. I think with every makeup artist, you should have some knowledge, or as much knowledge, of all aspects of our career. And then it's up to you whether you take that further on. You know, I mean, like, I can lay down a bald cap or a prosthetic, but am I doing that every day? No, you know. Because I'm, you know, not on that sort of like, you know, set. But I think it's good to have knowledge of that as well.
No, totally. What are some common misconceptions about being a makeup artist that you would like to debunk?
A lot of people have thought, oh, it's just easy. Being a makeup artist is just a little bit of fluff. It's a little bit of mascara. You know, it's not a real job. Not a real job, it's just a little bit of lippy. And I think, no, that's completely wrong. I mean, being a makeup artist, you have to be so skilled in so many aspects of your career. Not only do you have to be able to do incredible makeup, you have to be able to do it in a time frame. You know, you have to be able to deliver fabulous makeup. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who doesn't feel very comfortable in the chair. Maybe your client has arrived 20 minutes late, so that's knocked off 20 minutes of your time. You're on a commercial and they want your artist ready on set for 9 a.m. and your artist doesn't turn up until 8:30 into the makeup chair. You thought you were going to have an hour to do it. Now you've only got 30 minutes. Oh, but she wants coffee. So you've got to go off and get the coffee. Do you know what I mean? So you have to be able to do incredible makeup in a very short space of time. You've got to be able to read the room. Do I need to be quick? Do I need to be a mum here? Do I need to be an agony aunt? Do I have to be a comedian? You know, the job for me is about empowering the person that sat in the chair, giving them confidence so that they can go in front of the camera and do their job. My job is to make each person in the chair feel empowered, confident, worth it.
No, that's very insightful. And you can do that whether you take an hour or 30 minutes. Let's talk about emerging trends. Trends like we talked about in the beginning of this podcast are constantly changing in the industry. What are some trends that you like? And what are some trends that you dislike?
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Darling, there's nothing easy about running a business. Vagaro helps you level up your brand by getting you found, booked, and paid. Manage bookings, payments, marketing, and so much more. Tap into the power of Vagaro's free marketplace, where you keep 100% of the profit to expand your clientele and your purse. Over 175,000 professionals use Vagaro, so why don't you?
What are some trends that you like? And what are some trends that you dislike?
You know, I mean, for me, I like all trends, you know, because I think there is no right or wrong. Sometimes a new trend is just another way of saying something that's already been there. You know, it's like on TikTok, and there's that trend for sort of like siren eyes and doe eyes and cloud skin and whatever trend that enhances the lips, enhances the eyes, enhances the skin, that is a trend that's worth following. Are thin eyebrows coming back? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, skinny brows were really big in the 90s. You know, we've had the sort of Brooke Shields, the bushy, the boy brow, the high brow, the laminated brow. We've had that. Maybe now, I think, you know, trends are all about going against the trend. What was trendy last season? Let's do the complete opposite this season. You know, so yeah, I'm all about a new trend because I like to be surprised. I like to be excited. I want something new.
How do you keep up with the trends? Like, how do you stay inspired and continue to evolve as an artist?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing is to stay informed. How do you do that? By going out of your zone, because everything is relevant, not just makeup or hair. It's what is happening in the world, what's trending in music, and surrounding yourself with like-minded visionaries, that's what keeps you box fresh. And that's what you want. You want to be box fresh. So right now, I'm very excited about the metaverse, and I'm very excited about, you know, digital makeup, how we can take makeup in the real world and rework that in the metaverse. That is amazing. Exciting.
Okay. You're not worried about it.
You know what? I don't believe in negativity. I know I'm not worried about it because out of this, out of chaos and out of change comes something new. Because to be negative and to say, no, I don't want that, is to be restrictive. And you don't grow if you're restrictive. You've got to open up. You've got to grow. You've got to accept that there will be change. And this is it. For things to change, I must change. So if the makeup industry is going to change, you, me as a makeup artist, have to change with it. So do you want to be left on the fence going like, oh no, you know, this isn't going to work. There's not going to be any work for me. Well, yeah, you will be set on the fence because you've not grown. You've got to grow.
No, totally. Can you discuss any upcoming projects or collaborations that you're particularly excited about?
There's always things going on. Glow Up is going to go live. The program that I'm involved with, that's going to go live in London in October. So I'm very excited about that. I've got a big show with L'Oreal Paris in September. That's always an incredible extravaganza. So we've already started planning for that. You know what? There's always something coming up. And that's what I love about my particular job as a freelance makeup artist. It's almost like every day or every week I go into a completely different situation. And I think that helps to keep you fresh.
Val, off topic a little bit, do you ever take time to rest, or is there anything in your day-to-day life that you do? You're so busy. You're always on the go doing new experiences. What does Val do to like decompress?
Gardening. I am obsessed with gardening. Yeah. I like color in the garden. And for me, I mean, I don't have kids. So, you know, when I'm growing something from seed, it's like, oh, just given birth. Oh, look, there's a lemon tree. You know, I love that. And I love to see things, you know, coming up. I love the changing seasons. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, when I walk out into my garden barefoot and I stand on the lawn, for me, gardening grounds me.
Mm.
It grounds me. It's sort of like, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. My last question for you, Val. What advice would you give to aspiring makeup artists who are just starting their journey in this industry?
Again, say yes to everything. Be available for everything. To an inspiring makeup artist, I would say be enthusiastic, be on time, be kind, be informed, do your research, park your ego at the door, your negativity at the door. Be a can-do person. Look for the solution. Don't look for the reason why it can't work. You've got to be an amazing problem solver. I went on this job a couple of years ago with a photographer, a very cool photographer, who always does no makeup. You know, it's like, it's real skin. It's never about makeup. So my first assistant, I said, look, you know, give me a small kit, because there's not going to be any makeup. You know, it'll be lip gloss. It'll be like a bit of shine on the cheeks. Anyway, I got there and the photographer said, and remember, I got no color or hardly any color in my kit. The photographer said, I'm thinking we should paint her green. You know, if her skin was green and she had this red lip, I think it would look amazing. And I was thinking, right, how am I going to do that? Because, you know, we left all the shadows. So I'm like, oh, no, we're not going to be doing color. So I literally had to get paint. Like, you know, like I had like kind of like paints in my kit and I had to sort of like, you know, make the color. But, you know, it's like you've got to be prepared for everything. So, yeah, be informed, be prepared, expect the unexpected. Preparation, execution leads to longevity, not only in your flawless foundation, but in your career.
I love that. You just gave us a ton of knowledge, a ton of inspiration.
Oh, fantastic.
Val, let's talk about how your book validated.
Well, I think the thing for me is like my career and my signature, as we've already talked about, is so varied. I've done so many different looks in my career and I come at it from a sort of an artist's eye, as opposed to, you know, I'm doing kind of like glam, glam, glam. And it was funny, like a friend of mine asked me to do the book and I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to sort of like, you know, get the rights, get the pictures, all of that, get the approvals anyway. And this friend of mine who was producing the book for me, she said, I want you to write a foreword. I want you to write a foreword about you, about how you're so successful. And I just thought about it, you know, this little girl from Bristol who goes to live in Australia, who was never a trained hairdresser, who was never trained to be a makeup artist. And I thought, well, what would I say? So for my foreword, I said in the book, I'm trying to remember it word for word, I say something like, I never believed in myself. I never thought that I could be somebody, but if I can do it, so can you, you know? And I think that so many of us sort of like, you know, we suffer from imposter syndrome of like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. you know, and if you keep that thought in your head of like, I don't know if I'm good enough, you'll never be good enough. You've got to go, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to do it. And then you'll do it.
Right. That also goes with your book. You never thought you were going to write a book.
Yeah. I think with the book, what it is it starts with, I never thought, you know, I was creative. And here I've got this volume of work. And these are some of the moments in my career that I think are special. And it was almost saying to other makeup artists, like, come on, get out there and give it a go. Like, believe in yourself, give it a go. And like, you can one day have your own book, you know. Would I do another book? I'm not so sure. It was a lot of work.
I'm sure. But Val, you have to tell me, how was it going back and looking at all the looks that you did? Was it also like, I'm sure it inspired you, right? Like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Or did it take you back to those moments where it probably felt so good?
Yeah, sometimes it felt so good. And sometimes it felt, oh my God, I remember that moment. I was under so much pressure. You know, I mean, I remember sort of like Lady Gaga for the Moogler show. She came in and sort of, I don't know, kind of like 15 minutes before the show was starting, and somebody shouted my name and said, you got to come and do Gaga's makeup. You got 15 minutes to get it on. 15 minutes. And I thought, what am I going to do? And, you know, yeah, it just came together. I just gave her this really strong, large liner. It was very graphic. It was very big. It was very bold. I didn't know if Gaga was going to like it, you know, and there was no time. And she was like, yeah, great, let's go. Great memories. But also, it's good to remember the adrenaline. You know, somebody once said to me, like, what does it feel like to be successful? What's the feeling? And I said, you know, the best thing is the journey. You've got to enjoy every single moment of the journey, because that's what it's all about. And the moment you think you're there, no, there's always something more. You can't say I've made it. There's got to be more, you know. So that's why I'm excited about moving into the metaverse and moving into sort of like, you know, digital makeup. I'm excited for emerging artists to see what they bring to the table. You know, it's good. Change is good.
Well, Val, before I let you go, we're going to play a quick game, okay?
Okay.
I play this on all my podcasts. It is called Taylor's Would You Rather. And so I made you 8 Would You Rather questions, and I made them Val edition. But the trick is you only have 3 seconds to answer.
Okay. 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 Let's go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather work on a high-profile red carpet event or collaborate with a cutting-edge fashion designer for a runway show?
You know what? I'm probably going to say the runway show.
Okay. Would you rather have unlimited access to any makeup product you desire or have the ability to create your own line of signature makeup product?
I'm going to say the first one.
Okay. Would you rather create a bold, dramatic makeup look using only one color or create a subtle, natural look using a full range of colors?
A bold, signature, one color look every time.
Ooh, okay. Would you rather do makeup for a celebrity on their wedding day or prepare a model for a high fashion shoot for a huge magazine?
I'm going to go high fashion model for a huge magazine.
Okay. Would you rather work on a film set and create historically accurate makeup looks or have the opportunity to design makeup for a futuristic sci-fi movie?
Design makeup for a futuristic sci-fi movie every time.
Ooh, okay. 3 more. Would you rather have the chance to recreate a famous iconic makeup look from the past or have the opportunity to set a trend for a new makeup style that everyone will follow?
New makeup style, set the trend.
Okay. Would you rather have to do makeup using only your non-dominant hand for the rest of your career or have to apply makeup blindfolded?
I'm going to go for the non-dominant hand, actually. Yeah. Because I think you could learn with that. Yeah.
Right. Okay, last one. Would you rather have to do a full face of makeup using only food items or have to create a glamorous makeup look using only children's face paint?
Well, they're both great. They're both fabulous. But I'm going to say glamorous using children's face paint because, you know, often that was the sort of looks that I did for Vivienne Westwood.
Yes, you know what? And you know what? Once I wrote that, looking back, I realized that you have done paint before. And knowing that you're a painter, I was like, oh, that's an easy one for her.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Val, thank you so much for taking your time and joining us on the podcast. I've learned so much about you and just your journey, and it is so inspiring on so many different levels. So I appreciate you and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on board. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Our goal is to always give you the content you didn't know you needed to know and to make sure you're always on point. I'm Taylor Burke. Thank you for listening.